Buddy, Happy New Year. Glad to see you all here this morning. Nice smiling faces. Well, after all this Christmas and candy and everything else, we thought we'd get us started this morning with a nice peppy tune to get you all moving this morning and praising the Lord. So we all please stand as we sing, Your Grace Is Enough. Is enough for us. That is all we need. Amen. Will you bow your heads? We open up with a word of prayer. Dear Lord God, I thank you and praise you this morning, God, that you showed us grace and that we can call upon you anytime, God, and you are faithful, and you always have us, God. And I thank you and I praise you for that, Lord. And as we stand here this morning and worship and praise you this morning, I ask that your Holy Spirit is here with us as we do this morning. And upon Pastor Rich, as he brings your holy word to us this morning, God, speak powerfully through him. And I ask you for all this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Y'all may be seated.
Happy New Year. And glad to see you all here today. And just want to thank everybody for the Happy New Year wishes and all the Christmas gifts that you've provided me and Donna. And we love you very much. And your generosity is overwhelming. So we just wanted to tell you thank you and we love you. Well, we're back to normal, so we have youth group tonight, right? So we're up and running youth group at 5 o'clock tonight, and then also Wednesday evening services are back on, so prayer meeting at 6 o'clock, and Bible study at 6:30. Also, the Christmas card mailbox that's in the back, this is the last Sunday for that, so please go check your Christmas mailbox, your slot there, see if you have Christmas cards in there. There are still some in there, I think. Yeah, there are still some in there. So you need to check that so that we can, it'll be taken down after today. So, and also don't forget, today is First Sunday Kids. It'll be immediately following the worship service, and that is the grades K through 4. Yep, we should put that in there. So, but K through 4. And so we just, if you want to go, that's extended service. So when the other kids go to extended, that you would just go ahead and K through 4, you can go to Kids Sunday, all right? And you're up. She's going to give you good news.
Good morning. On December 21st, you gave $1,156.48 to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. On Christmas Eve and last Sunday, you gave a total of $3,218.44. Altogether, you gave $6,109.79, surpassing our goal of $4,000. Thank you for your generosity. Please pray that this money will be used wisely for the purpose of introducing more people around the world to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and pray for God's blessings on Southern Baptist missionaries and their families. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Pam. Will y'all please stand and continue with worship.
I raise a hallelujah.
don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. Forgiveness. It's like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like the sound of a symphony to my ears. It's like holy water, your
here I am to worship, here I am to bow down. Thanks, Mike. You set the bar very high. You didn't mess up. Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us today. It is officially 2026. I hope you guys had a great Christmas, great New Year's. The good news is all of that is finally behind us. So for all of you who have been rushing around cooking and preparing and having your houses filled with family members, you can finally take that deep breath. Now, as we get into 2026, like many of you guys probably spent time hanging out and talking about how your 2025 went or what your goals for 2026 were. I know in the Davis house, we sat and we kind of reminisced over some of the fun adventures that we had partook in. And on the other side of it, we talked about our goals. And, you know, as we do, my Davis 3, they always got good goals. Lana, this year, her resolution was she wants to get better at baking. That's something that's on her mind she wants to focus on, so she's going to start baking more this year. I see a lot of cookies in my future, which is great for me. Aria also wants to bake more, so a lot of cookies are going to be in my house. So, Pastor Larry, I'm going to need you to come and hang out. We got you, all right? Donna, you get to come over instead then and eat cookies. Sorry. But, you know, the other thing that we talked about when it came to goals is Aria brought a really great goal that she had this year. And I want to share this with you guys because it's an exciting part in the Davis life. And it's an exciting part in her life. She wants to get baptized. Now, I bring this goal up because it's a spiritual goal. She has something she's looking forward to, she's excited about, that she wants to do in her life. Sometimes, as adults, we don't always think about those goals. We get caught up when we want to lose weight, right? Or we want to save more money, or some of us want to lose weight and save money. It depends on what situation you're in, right? Some of us want to achieve certain objectives or pay off certain things, but Aria's heart was she wants to get baptized. Now, there's more that goes into that in the Davis house, and Pastor Larry knows a lot of what goes into that with us talking to him, and we'll go through that. But I wanted to talk about goals and the new year. My personal resolution, some of you will understand this and make fun of me, but my goal is to talk less and smile more, right? So I'm just a small approach, an easy approach at life, but there's some wisdom in my goal as well. So this year, my first sermon of the year, my first sermon as a paid staff member, my title of the sermon is New Year, New You. Now, I think goals are good. I think goals are effective to have in our lives, and I think that whenever you can, you should do whatever you can to possibly strive towards whatever goals you're seeking. So when this idea of New Year, New You came out, a friend of mine and I, we were talking about the phrase. We were talking about how that was his goal, was New Year, New Him. And we talked about how this crazy thing happens where December 31st, you just magically turn into a brand new person and you're all of a sudden going to eat better. Doesn't always work that way, but hey, there's this weird idea that entirely different people are we on December 31st into January 1st. Which got me thinking, God actually allows us to be a completely different person. When God's in our life, when we allow God to work through our lives, we can truly be an entirely different person than we were before. So today, I want to talk about what that takes, the steps it takes, so to speak, to become a new person, to become the new you. So if you've got your Bibles, however you follow along, whether you follow on the screen or maybe using your phone, or if you still have your scroll, your stone tablet, pull it out. I'm going to be reading out of the CSB version today, Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 1. So follow along, it says this, it says, "So if you have been raised with Christ, seek things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." and you know me very well, I have to stop and point this out real quick here. If you've been raised with Christ, it says. Well, who's been raised with Christ? Yeah, most of you in the room probably raising your hands. If you're a Christian, you are raised with Christ. Those of us who have given our lives to Him have been raised up with Him. And just in case you're really not following where that comes from, look at Colossians chapter 2, and you'll see Paul's explanation of it. So those of us who are Christians should seek things above, right? Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And verse 2 says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Let's stop and pray there. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you that you set before us your words, the understanding that we have of your scriptures. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit that you rain down on this place today. Allow us to understand your word, to set goals with your word in mind. Allow us to become a new you, a new us for you. God, may everything we say and do, everything we do, focus on you and glorify you. And I pray, Lord, that your spirit reigns on us all today. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. My first point actually is kind of simple, right? Steps to become a new you is you got to focus on things above. Scripture's pretty clear, right? Verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Now listen, I know earthly things is kind of a broad term, right? And there's a lot of earthly things that we could kind of go into. We could talk about food, right? We could talk about the gym or working out. That's an earthly thing, right? But I think when we look at it as a broad spectrum, we have to remember that exercise, while it may be an earthly thing, is not a bad thing. So I can't use that as my excuse for not exercising, even though I want to, right? But if we focus on anything more than we focus on God, that's when we have a problem. So the focus here is that we're focusing on things above. So Paul starts off pretty strong with the conversation about what we're supposed to do. He says we're supposed to do that, and then in verse 3 he says, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ died, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Now listen, if you're not a believer, or if you're new to church, or honestly, if you're new to being a Christian, these two verses might be a little tough for you, and I understand. Because when you read the verse, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ, it kind of sounds like you died today. And if you check your pulse, other than maybe a couple of us, you still have a pulse, you are still alive, don't worry, don't panic. You're not dead. What he's talking to, rather, is he's talking about the figurative of we died to our sins. See, Christ literally died. He took the punishment that you deserved. And when he did that, when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we then died with him. We died to our sins. And crazy thing, Christ, right? Our life is hidden with Christ. When Christ is who is in your life appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Christ is going to return. When he comes back for that second time, we get to go hang out with him in glory. Amen. We have an eternal glory we get to live in because we gave our lives to Christ. But let's keep going, right? So therefore, verse 5, it says, therefore put to death what belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Put to death what belongs to your earthly nature. Now, these characteristics, verse 6 kind of continues it, because of these things, God's wrath is coming upon us, upon the disobedient. These characteristics are pretty serious, and Paul is quite literally telling us to put them to death. This terminology he's using here, it's incredibly direct. It's these things need to stop. If these things are in your life, you have wrath coming because of your disobedience. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, greed, idolatry. Now, these things mentioned here, these are the earthly things that we want to talk about. These are the earthly things that the world shows us and tells us that it's okay for us to feel these things. The world encourages us, right? If we started, if I pulled everybody in the Follansbee area and asked what their New Year's resolution was, most people, financial freedom in some way, shape, or form would probably be around what it is. But if we're being real, greed is very common. And while those two, financial freedom and greed, feel like they're different things, greed tends to be our desire that we have here. Evil desire and lust, idolatry, all go along the same thing. And this crazy thing keeps pointing, I keep seeing these things. These are all things that are focused on me, what I want, what I feel, my desires. Not me personally, but they're internal. Right? These are all things that are focused on you, yourself. It's all about self, which is kind of what the world tries to train us to be, right? Focused on self. It's all about you. Self-care, self-help. We see it all. We have it all. But the Word of God tells us something different. It says that we should be focused on things above, not these earthly things. These things mentioned here, these earthly things, as we continue, in verse 7 it says, and you once walked in these things, and when you were living in them, but now put away all of the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, filthy language from your mouth. Paul doesn't just stop with a handful of these earthly things. He continues even further and says, hey, remember these things. You were living in these things at one point in time. Before we came to Christ, we lived in the world, right? We still live as a part of the world. We did worldly things. We still fall into worldly sins. And when we gave our lives to Christ, what Paul's challenge here, what Paul's call to us all is that we need to turn all these things away. Put away all of the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language. See, the thing is, these behaviors are things of the world. They're not things that have our eyes on the Lord. They're not what we should focus on. Verse 9 says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. See, the thing is, we have a new self when we give our lives to Christ. When we step forward and dedicate our lives to Christ, when we tell God that we've had enough, we turn away from our sin. When we give Him our lives, He gives us a freedom to live something different, to be different, to be set apart. My friends, He literally tells us, and have put on the new self. You're being renewed in the knowledge. The first step here in us growing, in us having a new life, is giving our lives to Christ. And for us to do that, we have to be focused on Him. It continues in this text in verse 11. It says, in Christ there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. In verse 12, it says, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy, dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now, I want to point out the vast difference here in the characteristics described before versus the characteristics described now. Compassion is looking on to other people, caring about what others are going through. Kindness. Being kind to others, right? Caring about others, being nice to others. Even taking it a step farther, putting others in front of yourself. Like humility, where we quite literally put others in front. Gentleness, where we're not so rash and jumping to calling people stupid, as we tend to do at times, right? We're patient with other people, where we, crazy idea, we're slow, we allow things to happen, and we work with people when they're not going at our speed. And these things probably sound very similar to something called the fruit of the Spirit, for those of you who've been in church for a little while, right? These things that God says we should be putting on, right? This is what we should be doing. We should be focusing on things above. We should be focusing on these characteristics. We should be focusing on being like Christ. We should be focusing on loving like Christ. And even taking it that step further, we should be focusing on trying to be like Christ in everything we do. We should have compassion, meaning that there are people who go through things that we can't understand. There are people who are in circumstances that, you know what, we don't get it. I think to places like the stories that Cynthia and Amy have told of Haiti, and I think the stories that Cynthia has told of Guatemala, and there's a understanding that we just don't have of these places where running water is just not a normal thing. And we're not talking your pipes froze. We're talking the only water is a river or a pond that looks disgusting. Right? There's compassion, a caring for people, a deep care for people that maybe not be in the same circumstance as you. That's the compassion that Jesus had, where he cared about the little children. That's the compassion we should be striving for. Kindness, where we're treating others better than ourselves to the point that we're doing things that sound crazy. Whether that's feeding people, whether that's helping people. Humility to the point that the world doesn't revolve around us. And for the Dudes and Donuts Sunday School class, I know that's hard for a lot of us because the world revolves around us for a lot of us. And I don't think it's even just our Sunday School class. I think there's a lot of us in the room where, if we're being real, the world revolves around us. It's a big world, but not that big. Gentleness. Listen, everything doesn't have to be so rough, and it doesn't have to be your way. And patience, the phrase slow and steady comes to mind. But he doesn't stop there. So we go to 13, and we keep seeing. He says, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a grievance against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also are to forgive. Ouch. That's hard. Right? Now listen, I'm not a scholar, and I'm not going to say that I'm the best with words, but what I will tell you is when I read this, and I see bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a grievance against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, you are also to forgive. I don't see a loophole in there. I don't see a way around that. I don't see you have to forgive as long as they forgave you. right? As long as they said they're sorry. That's not really in there, right? We're supposed to bear with one another and forgive one another, which means sometimes we gotta just accept and move on. Because we both know, we all know, God keeps forgiving us. 14 says, above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts, and be thankful. Bearing one another, forgiving one another, loving, and being thankful. These are the characteristics, these are the traits that we're looking towards when we are trying to look to things above. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with, forgiving, loving, and being thankful. Man, those things sound way nicer than the first couple lists there, right? But if we're being real for just a second, if you stand here and you look at it for just a minute, does every one of those characteristics describe you? I know there are some perfect people out there, and for you perfect people, I know you're pretty close, right? But we all know that there's always something that we're striving for, that we're working to, right? That goal in mind. I'll be truthful with you all and tell you that, ironically, this year, the one I need to work on is gentleness. Because sometimes I think, and I go to the harsher response of, that's stupid, no. Right? And that's not always the best response in things. And Cynthia and I have had plenty of conversations. Hey, maybe that wasn't your best way to say that. And I go, oh, yeah, okay, let's roll it back, right? Steps for a new you. We got to focus on things above. But then there's one more step here. Let's go to the next verse where it says, let the word of Christ dwell richly among you, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. I think the step to a new you, number two, is that we got to pursue the word. Look, I am not going to tell you that every single person in this room is a scholar, nor am I going to tell you that every single teacher you ever find is going to be a scholar either. Some of us are readers and some of us aren't. I'm going to be very honest and tell you I'm not a big reader. In fact, when you look at our dry erase board at home, it has our reading plan for the kids and Cynthia and myself. And you'll notice that the kids and Cynthia's side of it is very large, and then there's my side that has like two small bullet points because I tell the kids, I really can't read. I just fake it most of the time. Okay? And the kids know I'm joking, as I hope most of you do by this point too, but when Cynthia talks about hers, she's got specific books, and she so many books per month, and in my head, I'm thinking, well, if I read one book this year, it's a good year. Pursuing the word is not specifically reading, though. Yes, it should be reading. Yes, you can read. Yes, that's part of it. But look at how verse 16 specifies, right? When you look at this, when you look at 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. There's other aspects of pursuing the word. When's the last time you sat in a class? When's the last time you taught a class? When's the last time you learned from someone else? And let me be very clear. I can tell you, it doesn't matter whether you're the teacher or not the teacher. When you sit in a class, you learn. Because usually you got at least one person in the room, at least one, who will challenge something when you're the teacher. Steve, does that ever happen to you where you get that one guy in the room? Usually it's Larry, right? Who starts throwing random stuff out there. And you have to defend or challenge or question. And when we sit in our Dudes and Donuts class, I know that we sit and we talk and listen. Sometimes it jumps off the rails. Like last week where we had a discussion on what our plans for 2026 were. And by the end of class, somehow we got to gossip. No, we weren't gossiping. We got to the topic of gossip and how that was bad. How we got to gossip from goal setting and talking about 2026, I still don't really know. But you know what we learned in that? Is we learned a deep dive into gossip over the next week and how dangerous and poison much gossip is in the life of a believer. We also learned how we justify and try to draw lines where lines maybe aren't always there. We learned this in a class where we started off with a conversation about what is your goals for 2026. Sitting in a Sunday school class, sitting in a Wednesday night class, sitting in a Bible study, whether it's in somebody's house or in the church, is a great way to grow in the Word, to pursue the Word. Because having brothers and sisters in the Lord helps challenge you and helps draw you closer to God. We have to find ways to pursue the Word. Listen, maybe you are like me. Maybe you're not a reader. I'm with you. You can attend class. Maybe you can just encourage somebody else. And let me tell you, there are teachers out there who can use encouragement. Some of us out there who have taught for many years, we can use that encouragement every now and then. Maybe you can help or serve in a different way in those classes. Maybe you're not the person who can teach, but maybe you can help set up or tear down. Because trust me, we need those too. Maybe you can support through prayer. Maybe you can support through finances. Maybe you support in some other way, shape, or form. But whatever you do, verse 17 says, whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We've got to pursue the Word, and we got to do it with whatever we can, doing it for the Lord. I think this verse, honestly, is my reminder for why I do anything I do. We do it for the Lord. And we should be doing it to the best we can for the Lord. This chapter doesn't end here, though. Verse 18 continues. And it says, wives, submit to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. And husbands, love your wives and don't be bitter towards them. Verse 20 continues and says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And fathers, do not exasperate your children so they won't become discouraged. My last step for you to become a new you is that we need to develop character, specifically godly character. Let's talk about godly character for a second. Character that matches the attributes of God. Ironically enough, it looks very similar to the things we focus on from above, right? It looks very similar to the fruit of the Spirit. All of us have to work on our character at times. But when you look at this, when you look at these scriptures, we see very clear, it says the wives should submit to their husbands. So does this mean that wives are bowing down to their husbands? Please, everybody in the room, the answer is no. Do not throw things at me. Sorry, Larry. All right, so here, better question. It says husbands should love their wives. So does that mean wives don't have to love their husbands? No. There's a pretty clear answer and pretty clear conversation that comes along with this. The intention is that the husband should lead the household. They should lead the household to the Lord. And wives should submit to their husbands in that respect. Husbands, though, should love their wives and don't be bitter towards them. Our jobs, our character as spouses should be that we go out of our way to love and care for one another in everything that we do. This right here is only the beginning, though. Because when you look at it, it talks about children. It talks about how children should obey their parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. So, but that stops at some point, right? Like when they leave their parents? Like if a child leaves their house, they no longer have to obey their parents on everything, right? It's called honoring. There's a difference between obeying and honoring. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they won't become discouraged. All right. Who knows what exasperates mean? Because I did not going prior to this. Listen, exasperating is that we're not pushing our children to the point of them being discouraged. Is the best way to describe it. You're not making your children worry and stressed. You're not getting them to a point where they are so disappointed or they're so discouraged that they don't feel like they can ever do anything right in your eyes. As a parent, my responsibility is to train up my children in the ways of the Lord. For the rest of you parents out there, we have 18 years that we get to raise up our children in the ways of the Lord. I tell you, you have 18 years because even though you may still have kids at home after they're 18, after 18, they aren't going to listen to you in the same way that they listened to you prior to them being 18. For all of the parents who have past 18-year-olds still around, am I right? Okay. So for those of you guys who have parents who are children who are under 18, we have 18 years-ish for them to potentially listen. Because even when we hit 16, most of us stop listening to people. Sorry, teenagers. That's to you guys. The reality is we have a job and a responsibility as parents to train them up. But they're watching you. They're watching what you do. They're watching how you respond. They're watching how you talk to other people. They're watching how you respond to your wife or to your husband. That character that I'm talking about, that godly character that I'm talking about, it's more than just listening to a command. It's a lifestyle. Godly character takes more than just a one-time coming to church. Godly character takes more than just occasionally showing up and popping in and hearing the word of God. Godly character takes a life that is set for the Lord. Godly character is something that is requiring a walk with Christ. Godly character will match the fruit of the Spirit, and that is what we should be striving for. This passage keeps going, though. In 22, it says, slaves, obey your masters in everything. Don't work only while being watched as people pleasers, but work wholeheartedly fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord and not for people. Now, there are no slaves currently in this room. However, there are plenty of people in this room who are people pleasers or who have bosses and jobs demanding expectations. Whatever you do, do it from your heart, as though you're doing it for God. Knowing, verse 24, knowing that you will receive the reward of an inheritance from the Lord you serve. You serve the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for whatever wrong he has done, and there is no favoritism. 2026 is a new year. And I hope that you set goals and that you strive for whatever those are. And listen, maybe you're as close to perfection as it comes. More power to you. Awesome. Glad you're here. But the honest truth is, I think many of us have plenty of things where we can work on. I know there are plenty of things on my list that I'm working on. And the truth is, while there's humor in much of what I do, when I say that the goal is to talk less, my goal of talking less has to do with me listening more. It's not just because I talk too much. Yes, that's part of it, but that's not entirely what it is. My goal of smiling more is designed for me being finding the joy no matter what the circumstances I'm surrounded by are. And while it seems like it's such a small goal and maybe not something major, the impact that it'll drive on my life and the spiritual meaning of me listening to those around me more will have more impact than most will see. But maybe your goals are different. Maybe you're trying to be a new you this year. Maybe this year is 2026, the year of me. But maybe the year of you should be more focused on the year of him. Maybe your 2026 year needs to start with you putting him as number one. What's that look like? Well, each one of us is different. Giving your life to Christ, dedicating your life to Christ starts fairly simple. It's understanding and recognizing that you're a sinner. Right? We understand that we all in this room, no matter how perfect, no matter how amazing, no matter how awesome you are, every single person in this room is a sinner. You fall short of the glory of God. And because even though the world revolves around you, God is the most important person. He set an expectation, and bad news, you missed the mark. Don't worry, you're with good company. Many of us missed the mark as well. And the better news is that Jesus paid the price for you missing the mark. He took that cross. He shed his blood to cover over everything you did. By us giving our lives to him, by us telling God that we recognize our sin, we recognize our failure, by us telling God we want to change and grow and starting somewhere where we take that first leap of faith, that's the key on how we start the change for a new you. Whatever 2026 may hold for you, I pray that you pursue Christ with everything you say and everything you do. Whatever your plans for 2026 are, may they be filled with steps of faith, starting something new for the Lord, and growing closer to him. Let's close in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, thank you for this day, and thank you for your mercy and your grace, for the opportunity and privilege that it is, Lord, that you give me, that I get to stand before your throne with your people sharing your word. God, I pray that in everything we do, that everything we come across, that, Lord, we do this for your glory, we do this for your honor, and, Lord, that we do this with our hearts devoted entirely to you. God, for those in the room who are working through whatever it is, Lord, I just pray that you remind them that there are people around who care.
It may not feel like it sometimes, because we're all so busy. But there are people in this room who care for them, who want to know how they can help. Lord, it's that. Your love is so supreme, it's so powerful, that people are here that they want to share that with them. So wherever we stand today, Lord, may our lives, may our work, may our 2026 be focused on you. It's in your name we pray. And all God's people say, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Rich. We all please stand.
Christ only.